Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. Crackle Fest number 3 is coming to Seattle March 1st at the Hard Rock Cafe there in downtown. It's going to be a good one, and it's going to be hosted by yours truly, me, again. I had a great time last year. It was so much fun. Had a lot of fun getting up there on stage and telling you guys some jokes. Great lineup this year. Pollen Storm, the Double Clicks, Nerds with Guitars, and of course, Kirby Crackle. So get your tickets quick. They're going to go fast at TicketWeb or KirbyCrackle.com. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast.
I'm not joking around here.
This is episode 133.
It's not an accident at all.
What is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
It's going to hurt a lot of it.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
I'm so not a raper.
And of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Oh, man. Thank you for joining us this week, everybody. We've got a great show planned for you. You may remember, if you recall last week, the episode with Stephanie Drury, we featured some music by the band Widower. Well, the man behind the band Widower is going to join us shortly here in Dining Room Studios. His name is Kevin Large, and we're going to have a conversation for you to listen to, the listener. We've got some stuff to talk about today. It's been a week of Operation Make Aaron Healthy, and we'll let you in on the results on that. Also, we've got an email from a listener schooling me on the issue of shrinky clothes. Also, that's about it. And then we'll get to things. So how are you all doing? I hope everything is wonderful. I hope you guys are doing well. We really appreciate all the iTunes reviews and star ratings you guys have been leaving lately. And we'd like to urge all of you to go there and do the same. So if you're listening to the show, if you enjoy it, even if you don't enjoy it, go over to iTunes and leave a little star rating there at the Air Raid Podcast. Or even a review. Take you about 5 seconds just to do one of those two things, and it helps us out in the long run. As we've stated before on this program, iTunes works on a very strange algorithm that nobody can figure out, not even the people in the highest ranks of those podcast charts. Nobody knows how it works. We just know that it's calculated on star ratings, reviews, and downloads, and subscribing. So, you know, if your mom has an iTunes account, why not just subscribe her to the Air Raid Podcast? You know, she won't know. Or she, you know, it turns out she may like it. She may have a good time. Yeah. So, like I said, I've been on this Operation Make Aaron Healthy. And if you follow the Air Raid Podcast on Facebook, you've probably heard all about it ad nauseum. It's been okay. Like you guys probably know, I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago with my buddy Luke and Thunder and Newman, and Luke was talking about this juice diet that he was on, and man, was he talking it up! And he looked good. He had lost some weight, and it was it seemed to be working. So I was on board. I was totally on board. He was selling me on it. He was like a fucking vacuum cleaner salesman at my door. I mean, I was picking up what he was putting down, man. And so I went to, couple days after Las Vegas, I told Mairead, I was like, I'm going to start this thing. I scouted out a bunch of juice places at work because, of course, I'm not going to be able to make juice on the road. Started to do this. First day went great. Now, I tweaked it a little bit because I knew that I wouldn't be able to go a full day without any food whatsoever. What Luke was doing was he was drinking juice all day. He had no solid food whatsoever. I decided that I was going to have a sensible meal for dinner. And this was a good thing, because by the end of the first day, I was so starving. I have never been that hungry in my life. Now, by the end of the second day, it got even worse. I mean, I swear to God, my belly was starting to get distended after 2 days. Man, I couldn't hang. I couldn't hang with it. But I drew it out for about 4 days. Lost about 5 pounds, which is good, right? Yeah. But yeah. God damn it. Screw that juice diet. Screw that diet in the butt. Because you're not eating anything. You're not taking in any solids. And the only nourishment you're getting is from this juice. Well, I did the greens juice. There's this new place that Starbucks owns. I can't remember the name of it. But they've got, you know, it's got kale in it and cucumber and a little bit of apple juice and broccoli and all this other stuff. All these other greens, spinach. It doesn't taste half bad. And it does quench your hunger for a little while. But the problem is that you can smell like bread from like 10 miles away. Literally. You can smell, somebody's baking bread somewhere in the city of Seattle. I can smell it and I can lead you right to it. I'm like a golden retriever. So last night, yesterday, didn't go so well. Yesterday was Friday. We're recording this show on Saturday. Yesterday did not go so well. I collapsed. I'm not like Luke. I don't know what Luke is. I don't know if he's human, because he can shut off those brain receptors that require him to eat solid foods like the rest of us humanoids. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it, but he can turn something off and just go with it. I don't know if he's back on the diet. I haven't seen him since Las Vegas, but yeah. But I feel good. I feel good. I mean, it was good to maybe flush my system out. I had never done like a fast thing before, so that was a first try. I'm glad I tried it. I'm glad I tried it. And now Super Bowl's coming up, and I'm gonna eat myself silly. And that was the whole point of doing this thing, ramping up to Super Bowl. Plus, I couldn't fit into my clothing, which we talked about last week on the show. And we got an email from listener Robert Myers. And here's the subject. This is a long subject line in this email. It says, and I quote, "Clothing made of 100% cotton should shrink predictably, although there is no way to account for the tightness of the weave unless you are an expert on textiles." That was the subject of the email. Oh, man. The contents of the email says, "Clothing that contains some synthetic fiber often will not shrink the way you expect it to. That is probably what you bought. Read the labels, look for 100% cotton, and don't buy anything else. Good to know, Robert. Thank you very much for the email." And you can also email us if you've got a grievance. This is something that I want to do. This is something that I want you guys to do. We're going to start doing this segment called Airing of the Grievances. We didn't get any this week. Hopefully we'll get some. We'll get a couple next week. I want to start reading those on air, because you guys are probably tired of listening to me just bitch about everything. So we want to leave that up to you now. So if you've got something to bitch about, we're going to do that. We're going to try to do that at least, you know, once a month if we get enough grievances. But yeah, we're gonna call it Airing of the Grievances. Maybe I'll even make up a little sound drop for it and everything like that. It'll be great. It'll be great. It'll be a lot of fun, right? So send those emails, aaron@air-raid.net. Also, like I said, go out to iTunes. Give us a little love out there. And follow us on Twitter. Our handle, @airraidnet. More people have been coming over to there, and we need some more Twitter followers over there to spread the good word of the Air Raid podcast. So did I have something else? Oh yeah, you know, speaking of Las Vegas, I did want to, because I didn't do this in the last episode, I wanted to do it then. But we have got to extend a very, very warm thank you to the guys, Randy, Dan, and BJ, who do this podcast called Request Not a Guarantee over there in Las Vegas. They were nice enough to put us up in this this just amazing hotel room there at the Cosmopolitan. And these guys, Randy, Dan, and BJ, they all kind of work in the industry of service. And they run the Aria and the Cosmopolitan over there. Great dudes. They've got this great podcast that you guys should check out. It's called Request Not a Guarantee. Check it out on iTunes. It's very funny. And it's definitely, you know, they're good at talking. They're good at talking, man. And they're funny dudes. So check that out. It's a great show. And thank them. Thank you guys once again for being so gracious and wonderful and giving us all those free drinks. That was awesome. Especially this one. Went up into this bar and it had like this flower in it, and you're supposed to chew on the flower, and it totally changes the taste of the drink. But it makes your mouth totally numb. It's super fucking weird. Super weird. Anyway, had a great time. Let's do this. Let's go to our first musical break. This song is called Two Tombstones by the band Widower. And when we get back, we'll be talking with the man behind the band, Kevin Large. It's going to be great. Stick around. We'll have more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Just a moment. You were warm-blooded whirlwind of a woman. I was wicked and awful with you often. Would it soften the blow? The last laugh or the afterglow? And we're two tombstones to and fro. All right, welcome back. That was Widower with the song Two Tombstones. And joining me here in Dining Room Studios is the man behind the band, Kevin Large. Welcome,
hi.
Sir.
Hey, how's it going?
See, that wasn't awkward at all, man.
No.
Welcome to the Dining Room, man. Thank you so much for coming out on this Saturday, right before the Super Bowl. You are a football man.
I like football.
Yeah. But you were a fan of the Jets.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the Seahawks. I like football. I don't follow like all the teams though.
Mm-hmm.
So from what you said before we started recording the show, the Jets have not been doing too well this season.
No.
Or did not do too
no,
well.
No, not at all. They had, they've been having quarterback issues, you know.
Oh.
Because they drafted T. Tebow last year.
Oh, right.
There's a whole thing between Mark Sanchez and Tim Tebow. And just like they weren't, none of the offensive coordination was working, you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
They really sucked this year, you know?
So he couldn't invoke the power of God this season or something?
They didn't play him enough, you know?
Or
they
really? Oh, okay.
It was really weird because, like, I mean, the way they approached their offense this year is like they wouldn't let either Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow to get into a stride. They like have like a couple successful plays and then they'd bring in the other quarterback and it's just like never works.
Yeah. That sounds totally familiar too. Cause I think, they did that. Did they do it? Something happened. They were playing the Seahawks and then did we just like pummel them
a little bit? Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah. It's all coming back to me.
That was a Monday Night Football game too.
Right. Right. Okay. It's all coming back.
It's rare too, like that I, living out here that I actually get to watch Jets games because they're not broadcasted every week.
Right. Right. Yeah. You have to have
like Monday Night Football. Yeah. Or like certain games, like all of their games weekly are on CBS, but, they don't. The CBS out here doesn't necessarily play the Jets game every Sunday.
Yeah,
they do occasionally, but
yeah,
if they do, I watch it. If not, I listen to it.
Yeah. So who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
The Ravens.
Are you really?
Yeah, of course.
Why?
I really,
because you're from the East Coast.
No, I just really like them more as a team.
Yeah, That's what I'm hearing from everybody.
Like, I really don't like Jim Harbaugh is the 49ers coach.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I don't like him. He annoys me. Yeah. He's kind of a big baby. And I really don't like Kaepernick, their quarterback.
I've heard so much from people.
if it was still Alex Smith playing quarterback, I might consider wanting the 49ers to win. But
yeah. See, the only reason, like I said before, like I know nothing about both of these teams. But the only reason I'm rooting for SF is because they're West Coast, you know?
See,
West Coast till I die, yo.
No, like, I think it's surprising. I figured, like, everybody here would want San Francisco to lose because they're in the same division as the Seahawks, you know?
Yeah, but we spanked, we beat them so badly the last time we played them. So I just, like, I'm feeling like if they win, that's like it. It basically states that that the Seahawks would have won the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, come on.
It's like what's that, the transitive property?
Yeah, exactly.
The Seahawks actually won the Super Bowl because they beat San Francisco.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. See, you're picking it up, man.
I get it.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah, of course. Maybe next year.
So tell me this big idea on this like bread hybrid. You've been having dreams about like bread products recently.
Yeah, I wish like if I really like Dave's Killer Bread. It's like
yeah, it's good.
It's the best. It's so good. But I really like my favorite bread probably ever would be the Essential Baking the rosemary bread.
Oh my God.
You ever had that?
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I kind of like wish that Dave would make like a more salty or like a rosemary bread, like a herby bread. Cause
it's all grains
and nuts and
like, well, right. But it's all like sandwich bread too. Right. Or do they do
loaf
like loaves and everything? Like ciabatta
I've never seen
like that.
Not Dave. No.
Oh, okay.
But like even you could buy the rosemary bread pre-sliced, the essential. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But I really wish that Dave would do something more like herby.
You should
try. Nuts and not necessarily sweeter breads. But
Yeah.
I think it'd be so good.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem, Kevin, is that these breads, these like small bread makers, like Dave's, they all put stuff, seeds and all that stuff on top of the bread.
That's the point though.
No, man, it's not the point. No. All that does, let me finish.
It's fibers.
No.
No, it's not.
No. You can put it inside the bread.
But it's not inside the bread as well?
Well, yeah, it is inside the bread. But if you put it on top of the bread, the only purpose it serves is to make a mess on your lap. If you're like, or on your chest if you're laying down and eating a sandwich on your couch.
Do you not have a plate?
That's not the point, man. I can't stand. Like, I've resorted to, like, when I make a sandwich with bread like that, I will rub the stuff off.
No,
you won't. Yeah, I do. Yeah? I will rub the stuff off the top of the bread.
That's really troubling you.
It is, because it gets everywhere.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Do you want to just leave?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm curious. I'm like, now I want to actually see what kind of bread you're dealing with.
It's right there. It's the Paulsbo Bakery bread. On top of the microwave over here.
Oh, right on. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Is that Franz?
Oh yeah, it's Franz. It's the.
But that's the type that you're talking about.
Yeah. It's got like oats on the top of it. Yeah.
I like Franz.
Yeah. This is a very interesting conversation.
Is it Franz or San Juan? I think. Yeah.
Well, it's Franz, but they make it. It's a San Juan, the San Juan
series or something
flavor or whatever it is. Yeah.
Their organic line is good.
It's pretty good. I just quit putting shit all over the top of on top of the bread.
I like it.
Ah, Jesus. Okay.
It's good for presentation.
right. excuse me. I've got this cold that just will not go away. Mm. Like, it's not, the people are talking about is like the cough from this cold like lasts 18 whole days.
Mm-hmm.
It just will not go away. Did you get the crud this year?
Luckily not. I mean, I thought I was coming down with something this morning, but it turns out it was just a really bad hangover.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, I was going to call and be like, I think I'm sick. But then later in the afternoon, I was like, oh, I was just hungover.
I'm so glad you didn't. hey, I've been listening to your music quite a bit in the past few months. No, man, it's so good. It is so good. I really enjoy the shit out of it.
Nice.
And you're kind of, would you call yourself like a one man show, or I mean, you just have friends like come and play with you? How did that all start?
Yeah. It's kind of like, I've been doing this project for about, like, I want to say eight years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Almost nine, I'd say.
So you were doing this when you lived over in New Jersey?
Yeah. It's always like, well? It started out as like a more like just like folky, me and my guitar kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I moved to New York City or Brooklyn and kind of got a band together there with some buds, and it was a lot of fun. And then I moved out west and had a band, and then it stopped being a band.
Was it always Widower?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been like three or four different bands at this point. Like, now it's like, it's everybody who's playing is just changing all the time. Kind of just like, who's available and like,
yeah.
It's neat. It's nice. I mean, I'd love to like have a like permanent band and like rehearse, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that way I could, I don't know, shoot out ideas but it's kind of not the way it's gone. It's just kind of like,
it's always been kind of your thing.
Yeah. But yeah, people play and I don't know, like, It's hard because a lot of it is on my shoulders, but it's easier in the same respect because...
No, I totally... Yeah.
Like, if I need to do something, I don't need everybody to do it. You know?
Right. Like, yeah. But when you bring in, because the stuff that we're playing today from your two records, like, I mean, you know, there's a lot of other stuff going on. There's, banjo and slide guitar and stuff like that. And, so when you bring other people in, are they writing their own parts, or are you writing?
No. Each one, they're writing their own parts.
Okay,
just kind of playing along. And, it's neat. Like, especially with this latest record, I for several years after the the EP came out, I really didn't play very often, and I'd play solo shows, you know, just because I play music and I have to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And but in that time, luckily, I was like, I had a lot of people that I'd play with, or like in other projects, or just friends that'll be like, hey, if you want a band, like, let me know, I'll totally play with you. So when the time came, I was just able to be like, hey, you want to make a record? And people were like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like some very badass musicians came down and we made a record in a couple of days, you know.
Yeah. Where did you guys record it?
At a place called Type Foundry. It's in Portland.
Oh, okay.
I was actually living there for 9 months out of last year. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
It's
yeah?
kind of like everything I don't like about Seattle magnified.
That's the same thing John Roderick has said on this show many times.
About Portland?
Yeah. 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 Portland's a curious place, man. Like, I feel like some of my friends fit in great down there. Mm-hmm. Like, Portland was made specifically for them. I don't think I could. I love going down there. Mm-hmm. I love visiting Portland, but it's just not like I can't. I could never see myself like living.
It's more
down there.
Yeah, it's better if like you think of it as like a Sodom and Gomorrah or something, you know, like just like go down there and go buck wild, you know?
Right, right, yeah, yeah, totally, but totally. So let me ask you this, because it sounds like you've lived in a bunch of like music hot zones, mm-hmm. New York being one, Portland definitely being one, now in Seattle. So what's kind of the difference between the music scenes in each one of those places?
To be honest,
and like, what do you like best?
I didn't. I mean, I like it here. I'm yeah. actually moving in like 4 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Los Angeles.
Oh no shit! So another music hotbed.
Yeah, yeah. Place. I also like. Here's the only place I've really like done anything with it. You know, uh-huh. like I mean, like I had like a band in New York, and I'd placed shows everywhere else I lived, but like here's the only place I've ever like made records and, you know,
yeah,
put them
yeah.
out and played proper shows and stuff. So.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what anywhere else is like.
You
know?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like, I,
well, it sounds like, I mean, you like going to shows, mm-hmm. you know, you, we were just talking before. I mean, you were out at a show last night.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that you went to shows out in New York and in Portland too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I've always like, I feel like all of my friends are musicians, you know. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or I have a lot of musician friends. I wouldn't say that they're all
yeah.
musicians, but.
So what can you say about the music scenes in those other places? Just from that perspective, from like third person
yeah,
perspective,
they're tough to break through. You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
But it's also really neat to like. I've thought about this so much. It's the only thing that is unfortunate about Seattle. It's like it's so what's the word I'm looking for? Inclusive or like, I don't want to say like incubated, but it's
like a bubble.
Yeah, like you could be entirely successful here, like
yeah.
and like sell out shows, and then you could go like 15 miles away and nobody
nothing.
Will
yeah.
come out. And it's
that's
really
where
weird. I feel yeah. like everywhere else, like if you did that, like it would show like at least some degree of success other places or nationally, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
but here it's so, yeah, like it doesn't translate.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which is unfortunate because like, I don't know, you're, like, you don't want to, like, stay in one place. Like, that's not... I mean, some people do, but...
Yeah, yeah. But if you're a band, I mean, the way you start to make your living at doing what you love is from touring,
mm.
right?
But it's also tough because it's so expensive nowadays. Like, is even, like...
Well, yeah, but you got to do it, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're gonna try to make a go at it as a musician, I mean, you have to tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what I've heard. Definitely. And that's it's interesting you brought that up, because that's where I was going to go with the conversation, because we've talked about that a lot on this show,
mm-hmm.
is the Seattle bubble.
Yeah.
The concept of the Seattle bubble. And I think the first person to kind of bring that up here was Eric Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And his record is amazing. And when he said that he wasn't getting a lot of, because I mean, you know, you could hear his album Touchscreens anywhere here in Seattle when it first came out.
Yeah.
You know, all over KXP and stuff like that. And like, when he said that he wasn't getting, you know, any airplay elsewhere, mm-hmm. and was having trouble, you know, getting people to come to shows and stuff elsewhere, that really surprised me.
Yeah. It's also like, I mean, you need the right people to be on your side, or you need to be paying the right people to be on your side.
Like, right. Right.
In terms of like having like proper, like
management, like, and bookers,
yeah,
like, and
public relations. Yeah. Like, publicists,
yeah. Totally.
And stuff. Like,
totally.
And it sucks. Like that's the way it is now. Like it's, that's the game. Like,
mm-hmm.
you need like three things in order to like actually do stuff. And it's unfortunate because, you know, you can't really, I mean, you could still do it yourself, but like in terms of like reaching that next level, you know, like you do need like a lawyer and a manager,
oh, yeah.
and a publicist. Like, and it's like, it gets taxing. If you're doing it yourself, like,
yeah. Or you have to like take out a loan just to start this thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, totally.
And, or, I don't know, get to schmooze the right person, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So do you think you'll keep up the music thing? I mean, you've stated that you love to play music. You can't stop playing music. But, I mean, is that like a possibility for Widower in the future?
I mean, I'd like it to be.
Uh-huh.
I kind of like my, I don't know, I internalize a lot of things and,
uh-huh.
you know, have a hard time a lot of the time with the way my brain thinks, you know, mm-hmm. but I don't know, like I made it a point not to make any plans past releasing this album,
mm-hmm.
like I was like
just the latest album,
yeah
Full and Moon, by the way, we haven't stated
Full Moon,
that
yeah and I feel like, I don't know, I kind of like had this thought in my head, like if this were to completely flop, maybe I'd get a real job, you know, and give up on it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I struggle with like needing encouragement or, you know, like validation, and it's probably one of my worst like personality traits, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like, I always just need a,
I think that comes along with the territory, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I struggle with that myself. That's why I started a podcast, because I needed validation from people, you know?
Yeah, I need, I don't know, like just like that pat on the back because of like poor self-image, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think that, I mean, that's got to be prevalent in a lot of people that play music and stuff like that, right?
You'd think, but not really. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of, I don't know. I feel like,
because that's the whole thing about, I mean, it's inherently narcissistic to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
Right? Or to want to be. Because you're always, I mean, the whole point of being an entertainer is for validation.
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't know. Yeah, it's just an ego trip.
You know? Yeah. right. Yeah.
It's kind
but
of
I'm like, not saying like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Of course, you know.
I don't know.
I mean, because I'm, you know, I'm coming from a space where I am probably the worst of it.
Yeah.
You know, I sit here and talk for an hour to people who come to and sit in my dining room.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't necessarily like, I have a really hard time selling myself.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like, I don't have that confidence that a lot of artists have, or you need to like be successful. And I don't know, like, I don't like pushing like the like self-pity card, but
yeah,
I don't know. I just,
well, is it kind of a thing where it's like, trying to make a go of the, I mean, does it make you feel weird when you're trying to like push your music?
Yes.
And very weird. And sell yourself like on Facebook or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time doing it. It's just because I don't know. There's a,
are you worried that people like get annoyed about that kind of stuff?
Yes. Or? Yeah, I do.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I always like to consider the bigger picture and it's just like, I feel like I'm annoying people, you know, like,
I don't think you have to worry about that, man.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Good. That's what people tell me, but
yeah, yeah. It's hard to get over. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Totally. I get it.
And that's the thing too. When I was, earlier when I was mentioning like management and stuff, it's like, if I had somebody to do that stuff for me, I feel like it'd be very beneficial, you know, cause
yeah.
I wouldn't
yeah.
be, I don't know, this like internal battle
yeah.
wouldn't be happening all the time, you know?
Yeah. Well, dude, okay. I feel like you should try really hard to get over that because your music is fantastic. I, like I said before, have really enjoyed what you have on your website. By the way, let's plug that really quick. It's widower.bandcamp.com, and you can go and you can listen to the whole Full Moon album and buy it there for $8. And also you can get the Widower EP that came out back in 2008, which is also great. So go do that. But like I was saying, I think it's worth it to try and push this stuff, man. Because if this is what you want to do, you're obviously very good at it. You know.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm trying to validate you, man. Yeah, just let me validate you.
I appreciate that.
Well, with that, let's go to our second musical break. Let's see. This song is called, oh man, I can't even read my own handwriting. Come Monday Morning, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest Kevin Large of Widower. All right, be back in a moment.
Have seen
Yeah, about Star Wars. J.J. Abrams is gonna be directing it.
Yeah. What has he done?
He's done... Okay, so J.J. Abrams did Lost.
Oh, okay.
He was part of the team that kind of started, like, the Bad Robot Productions or,
all right, what,
or whatever.
What movies has he done?
Movies, Super 8. He directed Super 8.
Cool, yeah,
he directed the new Star Trek reboot. Then the second one that's coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good.
What else? What was the one? Oh, Cloverfield. I never saw that one.
That one sucked.
Did you see it?
Yeah. I watched it on the plane once.
It was kind of like, it, what was it? Like a Godzilla or something?
It was like a handheld camera.
Yeah,
it was a Godzilla-ish movie.
Okay.
I just like, I can't get behind a lot of those handheld camera movies. It's just like,
yeah,
gets annoying.
Right, right.
Makes me nauseous.
Well, especially after like the Blair Witch Project, that kind of started all that stuff, right? Yeah, and that was super shaky. I remember seeing that movie in the theater, Blair Witch Project, mm-hmm. and people actually getting sick and having to leave because they were getting motion sick. But back to Star Wars. Here's you're a fan.
You don't? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Are you excited about them making new movies?
No.
No?
I mean, yes and no. Yes and no.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like. Of course I'm into it. I just like,
you're gonna see
I'm
right?
nervous. I'm nervous. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
That's the thing.
I'm like, a little hesitant.
But I've also been. I'm so glad that George Lucas isn't doing it. You know. Just because what he did with episodes 1 through 3.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe a new take on it could be cool. You know.
Like. Yeah. Yeah.
But it also may. I don't know. I kind of like subscribe to the mentality of like, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, like,
right, right.
Like, I even hate when, what was that, in 97, when they like reissued all the movies.
Yeah,
like,
they did the special edition.
And it was like digitally enhanced and stuff. And it's mm-hmm. like, what's the point? You know, like, just keep it how it was. It's art. You know, it's not like anybody's like changing Picasso's paintings. Like,
right,
oh,
right, yeah,
like this or.
Well, my big problem was they kept on doing
an emoticon or something.
Yeah,
<you know?
laughs> yeah, totally. A bunch of floating smiley faces all over the place. No, my big problem was that they did like all the digital stuff. Like they put the digital stuff on this old, like model based.
That's what I was saying.
Like miniatures that looked awesome because of forced perspective and all that kind of stuff. And like, I mean, even at the time when they did that stuff, the digital graphics weren't even that good. Do you remember that?
Like when they redid it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, when they redid it, and even in the new movies
that
they made, like, I remember going to see those movies, and even at the time when those came out, like, I was like,
they
this
didn't
is,
look that good. Yeah.
This doesn't look that great. Like, you can really tell, you know, that this is all digital.
Yeah, it's borderline, like, childish, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah. I recently, because George Lucas was going to put out each one of those, he was going to put out each movie in 3D, and they started with episode 1, right?
This is recently, or?
Yeah, it was like,
oh yeah, I remember this, yeah.
It was like earlier last year, and I took my cousins to it, which they're like, you know, 14 years old, 13 years old, and we took them to that, and I just remember sitting there through that movie because I hadn't seen it again in a really long time. And I was just like, this is like fucking Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Crystal Skulls.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something. Like, you know, you don't want to remember how bad it is, how bad it actually
you know,
it's
is. Funny.
And
it was
terrible.
I saw episode 1 in the movie theaters when it came out.
Oh, yeah,
I saw it in the movie theaters about 7 times.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because you were so excited, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I probably just really liked Natalie Portman at the time.
Yeah, totally.
But
totally.
I was like, I think I was 14 when it came out.
14?
So, yeah,
okay.
13,
yeah.
14.
I was a little bit older than you. I must have been like 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And I remember I did the same thing, man. Like me and my friends, we went like 6 times.
Yeah.
And it was like each time you saw it. Yeah, because of Star Wars. And each time you saw it, like the first, I remember the first time walking out of the theater and going, Yeah, it was okay. I get it. I get why he did that. You know, he's setting up the whole... Like, I'm sticking up for George Lucas because I wanted it to work so bad.
I know.
And you're just... God. And you know, the subsequent times that we would go and see it, it was just... It just got worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I kind of, like, have this sentimental appreciation for it, though.
Yeah.
Each one of those first three films, like... I can't believe I just referred to it as a film, but the first three times, those first three movies, I went with my mother and my father to the midnight showing for each one.
Right.
And then I remember sitting in Revenge of the Sith at that point, I was like 20, 21, with my mom and dad. And I was like, oh man, this, I didn't think it was ever going to happen again. Like this is like the last Star Wars movie that I'm going to watch with my mom and dad, and like,
right.
I got a little teary-eyed.
But yeah.
Now it's like maybe I'll fly back to New Jersey and
go catch a midnight showing.
Yeah, yeah.
Episode 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're into it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd like to see.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, here's the okay. So here's what I know. Here's what I know about the new movie that they're going to be making. It's supposed to come out in like 2015. It takes place after the original three, so it's episode 7. Apparently, the chatter that's going on in the background is that Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford are on board.
And they're going to play themselves?
I believe so, yeah.
play themselves?
Play their original, yeah, yeah. Well, Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill will, because that's the only thing that they've really ever done.
Precisely. No, except for When Harry Met Sally.
Wait, what?
Carrie Fisher's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. She was their like the friend's wife.
Yeah.
Right.
What's that guy's name? Something Bruno.
I can't.
He
remember.
He died a couple of years ago.
What?
Yeah.
He.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was in like City Slickers too.
Yeah, Totes.
Oh my god!
I just said Totes. God damn it,
dude! I say Totes all the time.
I
just not on air.
I know. That's the thing. I'm getting too comfortable.
You're getting too comfortable. See, this is working. Yeah. This is working. The Star Wars talk.
Yeah, I mean, Carrie Fisher's in a lot of movies.
Yeah, she's going to be at Comic-Con this year, too, here in Seattle.
Ah, fun.
Yeah, next month. Next month.
Wow.
It's going to be great, man. Yeah, okay, so J.J. Abrams is directing it. I am cautiously optimistic. I just hope he doesn't put a lot of lens flares in everywhere, which he does in every one of his movies.
Yeah. I really like Super 8.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's badass.
Is it good. Pretty good?
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I saw it in the film. It's funny too, the little kid in it. Or I mean, they're all little kids.
But yeah.
The one little blonde kid just looks like a really young Tom Petty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Poor guy. It's funny too, because he's also that same kid is in the new Judd Apatow movie. This is 40.
Oh God, I want to see that.
It's
too.
Really funny. I saw it on Christmas.
I love his movies.
Yeah, and it's so funny because the Judd Apatow's wife, I can't remember her name either, but she's one of the stars.
Yeah,
and she calls the kid she's calling him out, and she's like, "You look like a young Tom Petty." Like,
oh really?
It's it's really funny.
Nice,
poor kid.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic. I kind of hope that Boba Fett's in it.
Oh yeah,
that'd be pretty rad. What's the movie gonna be about? They they beat the Emperor at the end.
Boba Fett can't be in it because he died.
Well, remember in the special edition, he flew back out of the mouth of the thing.
Oh shit! I don't remember that.
Yeah, they had him live.
Ah, cool. Remember, even like, I don't know, a lot of like in the early, like for instance, like Attack of the Clones, where they go to Kamion and like they introduce Boba Fett, you know, because he's
right. He's the kid
that's raised at a like normal rate.
Right, right.
And it's like, I don't know, it's just so cheesy. Like, this is Boba. Like,
it was forced, man.
It was so forced.
It was so forced.
It's just like he wanted.
I mean,
it's like my music, you know? It's so forced.
Nice segue. Nice segue.
I'm playing.
No, well, here's the thing with Boba Fett. The reason he was so popular is because he had such a small part. He was so mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know anything about Boba Fett. He just looked awesome. He had a fucking jetpack.
He did.
And a missile on his arm. Like, you take that mystery away, man, and it's like, you know, he's not as cool anymore.
Nope.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do.
Can't give anybody layers these days.
That's right. That's right. Speaking of segues,
one dimensional.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of segues, let's see. Like, boy, I can't come
the motorized.
Up. I can't come up with one. Motorized, no, not segues? The. Oh, okay. No, not that. No, no.
That was
I was
cool.
Gonna try to switch gears back into the music conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What brought you to Seattle in the first place? Why did you move over here?
It was
how was that segue?
It was good.
Yeah, was it solid?
Almost.
Totes.
it was actually rather whimsical. Like, I just was doing a tour with a friend, and I was living in New York at the time, and as was he, and we did like a kind of like a West Coast tour because he's from here.
Who is that?
His name is Drew Victor.
Oh, okay.
He's in New York right now. Still, he's a really prolific dude, good songwriter. Yeah, but he's pretty bi-coastal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, we were doing this tour, and it was like my first. I was, I think, 22 or 23, and it was like my first time ever on the West Coast. You know. And we like did, you know, like the whole stretch LA to Seattle, and we got to Seattle, and I just like. We hung out for a couple of days, and I just like made friends, like kind of like instantly, and it was fun too because like I played a show in Portland, and like that week I had became friends with, like, the Maldives because they were old friends with Drew. And
oh, cool!
It was fun because like they like came down and like played as my band.
Oh, nice!
For the Portland show, and it's like I just met them, and. It was really cool, and I don't know. I was like, oh, fuck.
So
I'll go hang out with those guys for a year and make a record.
So it was kind of like, was it kind of like the vibe of
Seattle?
Of Seattle that kind of hooked you in, or what?
I think not necessarily as a city, but like in terms of like my friends here, like it's hard to like let them go, you know? Or
totally. Yeah.
I
get that. Yeah. I mean, I'm born and raised in the Northwest. I grew up over on the Kitsap Peninsula.
Okay.
But you know, moved over here after college, and like, I mean, I've never lived anywhere else, so I always find it really interesting, like, what draws people to this area. Is it the music scene? Is it like, you know,
the
greenery, or just kind of the outdoorsy feel of it? You know.
Yeah. As I had said, like, it was. It was a rather like whimsical move, and I only intended to be here for a year, and it's turned into almost six. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, as well, I mentioned that I'm planning on moving next month. So I don't know. I've been meaning to move back east this entire time, and I just haven't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I decided that I don't want to move back east without living in California first, because California is fucking awesome. You know?
Yeah.
And just like, I don't know. I just want to. It's like that Everclear song, you know? I just want to go to California and have some sunshine. And
is that really an Everclear song?
Yeah. It's like their hit, Santa Monica. You know? It's like, we can live.
Oh, yeah. Ocean. I was thinking of the.
The father of mine?
No. I was thinking of that guy. Who is that?
Everlast.
Oh, yeah. Like the
like guy from a
hardcore rapper that was all of a sudden like
he was in House of Pain.
Folk. Yeah. Totally.
And he covered Neil Young's "Only Love Will Break Your Heart."
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a hit.
Uh huh.
Kind of. I mean, you can't ruin that song, but it's kind of. I don't know what's.
I did not like that guy at all.
No, he sucked. But that's a great song.
Yeah.
He tainted it.
He definitely tainted it, yeah. With some unmentionable color. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it sounds like you are the type of person that moves around a lot.
I like to get around.
You like to, yeah.
I'm a rambler. You know?
Yeah. Was that, do you think you picked that up from, like, your parents? I mean, were they...
No.
Were they did they move around a lot?
No, they've been in Brooklyn and New Jersey their whole lives. Yeah.
Do you guys travel a lot as a kid?
Nope.
No.
No. Like I said, my first time at the West Coast, I was like 22, you know.
Oh yeah.
But I've done a handful of like touring and stuff, like mm-hmm. and I was like, I completely subscribe to the mentality that like the grass is always greener, mm-hmm. you know? So I'll go somewhere and be like, I don't want to leave because this is awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But
so are you kind of constantly looking for your place?
Yeah, I'm a little unsettled.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That's kind of the way I've always been. Like, I don't really recognize things when it's right in front of me.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you have to take it away in order for me to be like, whoa, that was special. Or
yeah. I know a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like a very common trait.
It's like, I'm real self-absorbed, you know? Like,
I wouldn't say that, man. Yeah. I wouldn't say that. I don't think that plays into that. What's the word I'm looking for?
Characteristic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Characteristic. Yeah. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
Yeah, no, of course.
So what are you going to do? I mean, you've got a girlfriend here, though, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is she going to go with you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, what we're doing is moving into... I haven't bought it yet. I'm in the market for a conversion van right now.
Oh, nice.
And I've been looking online every day. But essentially, we're going to move into my van on March 1st. And I've been... booking shows just like along like in Oregon and California and Washington.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so we're just gonna take like a month driving down and play shows and
excellent.
Do some camping and stuff.
Oh, that'd be great, man.
And then if we get there, if we could find a place to park and just live out of the van.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. There's plenty of spots.
just be romantic about it. You know?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, I wish you the best of luck, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, any shows coming up or
in Seattle?
Anything here in Seattle or along the West Coast?
I am currently I booked a widower show, kind of like a last hurrah before I leave. I mean, I know I'll be back for to play shows or festivals or whatever, like. In a couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a widower show at the Sunset on the 26th. And then I haven't mentioned this yet, but for the past couple of years, I've been fronting a Tom Petty cover band.
Oh, really?
And we're playing at the Comet on the 27th.
Oh, nice.
Which is the next night.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's kind of like my going away Petty party. You know?
I'm sensing that you're a little bit obsessed with Tom Petty. I mean, you're talking about the kid who looks like Tom Petty. You're starting to see Tom Petty everywhere.
I really like Tom Petty. You know?
Well, man, the music is great. And anytime you come back up to Seattle, please let us know.
Yeah.
We'll plug it on the show. And I would love to have you, after you've lived in L.A. a little bit, I'd love to have you back and talk about L.A.
When I come back all bronzed. And
yeah, dude. Yeah.
Bleached hair and bleached teeth and... have my own sitcom, you know?
Yeah, right.
Or wait, no, it's a reality show.
Yeah. It's just called Widower. Yeah. Well, Kevin Large, thank you very much, sir. And you can find Widower at widower.bandcamp.com. Is that the only website?
That's the only website.
Okay. It's on Facebook,
unless
too.
You consider Facebook a website.
That's legit.
Yeah.
That's legit,
unfortunate thing, though, is like there's like... four or five other widowers. It's just like people don't do the research before they name a band. You know?
Yes. I know that all too well.
I don't,
and it's always resulted in like a worse name that I didn't want for my band.
It's another reason I need a lawyer.
Yeah, totally. Well, hey, man, thanks once again. And like I said, best of luck on your move down south. And it was great to talk to you.
Yeah,
hope
likewise.
You had a good time.
I think so.
Okay. Good. This is Oh Catherine, My Catherine by Widower. It's one of my favorite songs right now. And this has been the Air Raid Podcast, episode 133. Next week, we've got musical guest, double platinum artist Macklemore will be on the show. And so tune in next week. Until then, have a good one, everybody.
You said a rock star does. with my friend on the television while you took a nap. And the moon shed light like skin. You were